Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Make it matter. Make it matter. That's what I want to talk about here on this Freedom Friday as we head into Memorial Day weekend. George Blackard, our fellow veteran, he's a Navy veteran. I'm a veteran, an Army veteran, and we've got so many great veterans and their supporters and their family members and friends listening to this show. Such an honor to get a chance to speak with you here on the program. But George, good to see you, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Aaron. It's great to be here. It's a beautiful day today. Holy smokes.
It's going to be a beautiful week, it looks like. I was looking at the long-term forecast because, you know, some Memorial Day weekends, you just never know what the weather's going to be like. It could be, you know, snowing and I was joking with Becky Hillier earlier, you know, back in 2020, you know, we had a beautiful camp spot at the West Glacier KOA right on the edge of Glacier National Park. And then we saw friends that were down in Red Lodge and they woke up to like a foot of snow on top of their campers. And we're like, oh, sucks to be you.
Yeah. You know, but the thing to remember is it could be like this all day right up to 10 o'clock when one of the first ceremonies is going to start. And then it'll change.
And then
it'll
the weather rain.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
One year we went to Mount View Cemetery on Central Avenue there, 15th and Central, and it was just like it is right now. It was beautiful, and I thought, wow, this is going to be a great day. By the time that was done and we drove to the National Cemetery on Laurel, it had clouded up, and in about 15 minutes, there was lightning and wind and rain, and it was crazy. I remember Chris Ingett, our friend, was given the speech that day, and he's standing up there below that big flagpole in the middle, and it's lightning around, and I'm like, yeah, we should probably stop this. You know, we better cut this short.
Welcome to the suck.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the suck.
It was
fitting.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's fitting for a ceremony.
But you know what, though? I'll tell you this. The people that were at that ceremony would have sat out there in the rain and the lightning and the wind until it was done. You know the type, right? They would have stayed out there no matter what.
Well, especially for Memorial Day.
For Memorial Day,
you know, Veterans Day is special. Armed Forces Day is special. Flag Day is special. So many days that are special. But you know what? You're going to let a little wind and a little bit of rain, a little bit of tough conditions stop you from remembering those who gave it all for this country, who endured so much more than just a little bit of discomfort for a little while. Yeah,
right.
You're right. That's why those people, they're like, nope, we're going to stay here.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important that we take our children and our grandchildren to these ceremonies. Now, I'm not saying take them out in the lightning, but don't do that. But that's why we need to create these traditions with our children, so that they carry those on in the future. Because, you know, it seems like every year these ceremonies get smaller and smaller because it's not a priority for so many people anymore. But the older generation, they remember when everybody sacrificed, they remember. So, you know, this year, have fun at the lake, do all that stuff. But take a few minutes and stop by a cemetery or go to a ceremony and reflect on what the day's about.
Or bring a story with you.
Yes.
Pick a fallen service member and share their story with your fellow campers, your family, and your friends, and your kids, more importantly.
It's May 23rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Lucky Penny Day. The 1 cent piece was the first currency authorized in the U.S., and the first penny minted was in 1787 by a private mint. While a penny nowadays may not have the same buying power as it did in the past, Lucky Penny Day is meant to spread the good luck around from finding random pennies during your daily travels. So remember, see a penny, pick it up, and all day long, you'll have good luck. Also on this date in 1785, founding father and inventor Benjamin Franklin announced the invention of bifocals. Recognizing that our vision starts to decline as we get older, it's an invention many of us still use to this day. And South Carolina became the 8th state to ratify the Constitution in 1788. If it's your birthday today, you share it with film director and screenwriter Ryan Coogler, born in 1986. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Friday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Underway on your Memorial Day vacations. We will send you into the holiday weekend. We'll give you the latest on the big, beautiful bill, which has now passed the House and will be on to the Senate. And we will get you ready for everything going to happen over Memorial Day weekend. All that and more. Come hang with us on Clay and Buck.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, George, you've done such a great job over the years. You've hosted special Memorial Day programs for Montana Talks, and then oftentimes on Freedom Friday, we'll head into the Memorial Day weekend talking about Memorial Day and so many great conversations. One of these days, I need to capture all those interviews and some of those highlights and just roll it all into one special show, because over so many years now, we've gotten to chat with so many incredible Gold Star family members and fellow service members and more. But the thing about it, every Memorial Day, the thing about it for so many people is they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do aside from going to a ceremony or remembering, you know, a fallen soldier, you name it. But they also, they don't know what to say to Gold Star family members. It's, you know, you just, it's, you don't know what to do. You want to honor them. You want to honor their sacrifice, but you don't know what to say, if anything at all. And I remember it was about a year ago, we got a great phone call from Melissa Sandvik, who lives in Malta, and her son was killed in Iraq in 2006. And she said, just remember their names. Just say their names. We want them to be remembered. And so, so anyway, just ask them, you know, about their loved one. And if they don't want to share the story, they won't share the story.
Right. I remember that when she said that. And, you know, and here's something for some people that may not know this. A Gold Star family is someone who lost a family member at war. And so they call them a Gold Star family. And that comes from the Blue Star flag. And so what you'll see is sometimes you'll see a flag or a banner hanging in a window. Sometimes you'll even see them in a car, or you'll see a sticker on the back. And it's a three-stripe flag, white down the middle, red on both sides or top and bottom, with a blue star in the middle. If you see one blue star, that means that family has one family member that's serving at war. If it has two, they have two. Famously, the Sullivan brothers, there were five on their parents' flag. And so that's what it is. It's a blue star for somebody that's serving. It turns gold when they're killed. So that's what a Gold Star family is. But I think that's a great point, Aaron. Most of those people want to talk about their son or their daughter. You know, just like she said, just say their name, keep their name alive and remember them. So that's a great point. You really can't go wrong. One thing I will say is it is Memorial Day. It's probably not the best day to go around thanking people for their service. It doesn't bother me, but it does bother some people, because this is about those who gave their lives in service to our country. And so, you know, some people, I'm just warning you, some people are a little touchy about that subject.
Most of us, we appreciate people's gratitude and their recognition of service members. But yeah, Memorial Day, it's not Veterans Day, it's not Armed Forces Day, it's Memorial Day. It's to remember and honor the fallen, those who gave their lives in combat to this country. And so yeah, if you had an uncle who served hey, I'm not going to knock you for remembering them on Memorial Day weekend, but just because you had an uncle who served who passed away of natural causes several years down the road, that's not what Memorial Day is about. But again, if you're going to go remember them this Memorial Day, hey, you know, I'm not going to be clutching my pearls over that. Remember them any day you want. That's great, right?
We put flags on every veteran's grave. Doesn't matter when they died. And it's a good time, and people use this as a time to remember their family members that didn't serve in the military. But, you know, that's what the day is. But whatever it takes to get people out there and to remember, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Let's go to Tim in Billings talking about Memorial Day in particular. Tim, thanks for the call. What do you want to share?
Good morning, gentlemen. I think not necessarily about Memorial Day, but leading up to Memorial Day, I think it would be a good reminder to do a buddy check on your people that you know that who just served, because they know people who are being remembered on Memorial Day. They serve with people who are being remembered on Memorial Day. And knowing that we have 22 veterans a day that commit suicide because of, you know, the stresses and the mental traumas that they have because of that service, let's prevent them from being, you know, prematurely honored on Memorial Day in the future by just doing a buddy check on them and saying, hey, you know, in the days and weeks leading up to Memorial Day, how you doing? Are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah, great point. Great message, Tim. Thanks for the call. And George, you know, you're great about doing that. You probably found that you get just as much out of that phone call as I imagine they do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've had some pretty amazing experiences making those calls, and you'd be surprised how, I don't know, God leads you to do it or what, but how those calls come at just the right time a lot of times.
Yeah. I loved a quote here. I was looking back at some of my previous Memorial Day stories that I put on our Montana Talks website. Back in May of 2023, I went and attended a Memorial Day ceremony where our friend Travis Norby, who is a Billings firefighter, and he served in the Army. He was actually in Ramadi, Iraq, in the very same AO that I was in. His unit had the AO before our unit had the AO, and so I've gotten a chance to get to know him over the years. But he had a great quote where he quoted Joseph Galloway, who wrote in 1965 in Vietnam. This was the quote. They call those who fought in World War II the greatest generation. The Vietnam veterans may not be the greatest generation, but by God, they are the greatest of their generation. They did their duty and they never turned their backs on our country, even when the country turned its backs on them. If there is one word that captures them, it is honorable. And then he added, I would like to think that the veterans of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom are the best of our generation as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The stock market is not the economy, certainly. Its euphoria and gloom are dramatic and well-publicized. The changes in the overall economy can't be boiled down to a simple number and take weeks or more to show up in data. For all the talk of trillions of wealth being wiped out in recent days, there have been equally eye-popping changes on the upside during the market's bull run before that. In reality, of course, those gyrations are just numbers on a page, with concrete meaning only if the assets they represent are liquidated. Lower or even dramatically lower stock prices don't put people out of work, and the connection between portfolio values and current spending is nowhere near as strong as some make it out to be. But the market is a sentiment index on the immediate future, and its precipitous fall warns us of just how much those sentiments have changed for the worse. It is people and institutions voting with dollars on where they think the return on those assets is greatest, and right now that is anywhere but in shares of U.S. companies. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
There may not have been any Cup Series points on the line in NASCAR's All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro Speedway, but some serious money was up for grabs.
And in his fifth All-Star try, Christopher Bell wins $1 million.
That was courtesy of FS1 as Christopher Bell won his first All-Star race. Bell defeated last year's winner, Joey Logano, taking the lead on lap 241 of 250. Ross Chastain, Alex Bowman, and Chase Elliott rounded out the top five. Bell won three straight Cup Series races earlier this season, but his previous best All-Star finish was 10th. NASCAR now gets back to points-paying action on Sunday with the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Kyle Larson will be attempting to complete the double by running in the 109th Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 in the same day. Larson is coming off a victory at Kansas Speedway on May 11th, his third victory of the Cup Series season. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, George, I know you got some great questions about this one big, beautiful bill, so we want to get to that and the big news of the day here as well. In fact, Congressman Troy Downing's dropping into our studios here, so we'll catch up with him here in just a few minutes. He just popped in. So, Troy, you can come up to the microphone if you want to. Here, join us. It's Freedom Friday. In fact, this works out really well. Now we need a Marine to pop in here because we've got Army, we've got Navy, now we've got Air Force with Troy Downing in the house.
So maybe Will can represent the Space Force over there.
There we go. Yeah, the Space Cadet. No, he's great. Yeah, Will Boone's a rock star. Yeah, we don't need any Marines. Is that what you said?
Yeah, we'll manage.
I think they'd cause a fight out in the front hallway probably if they showed up here. Hey, George, I got one more Memorial Day thing for you here. And actually, Troy, you'll appreciate this one as well, Congressman Downing, because I know you were, you know, a big part of Warriors in Quiet Waters very early on. So I got this coin here from Colonel Brian Gilman, the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters. And, of course, it's got Warriors in Quiet Waters on one side. And on the other side, it says, "Make it matter." And I looked up more of the background on where, you know, this comes from, but General Martin Dempsey, who was the 18th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Colonel Gilman talked about, you know, where this phrase came from. And I pulled up this summary on Grok, but really, Brian Gilman said it so well that, you know, General Martin Dempsey, his unit suffered so many casualties back in Iraq from 2003 to 2004, and he would always go meet with the comrades of the fallen soldier, and he never knew what to say. It seemed he could never say the right thing. It was, what do you say to somebody who just lost, you know, a friend, a buddy, or whatever? And so all he could think of was, make it matter, make it matter, make it worth something. And I think that's such a good message for our whole country on Memorial Day, especially. It's like, what are we going to do to make it matter?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a great thought. I appreciate that.
Yeah. George, your thoughts?
Well, I think it's amazing how just a few words like that can have so much meaning. It does to me anyway. You know, deeds, not words, is one that I really like too. And that's like the 4th Infantry Division. I think that's their motto. It has a lot of meaning to me. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, because it's about, okay, well, why do veterans in particular get so involved in their school, you know, their schools or in their local government, their federal government, or in their veteran service organizations? Why are so many of them the ones that continue to volunteer in a host of countries? Because they want to make it matter.
Yeah, right.
You know, because they fought for this country for a reason. So
exactly.
I thought it was good.
My daughter would tell you one of my favorites is Walk with Purpose.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, Walk with Purpose, would you, please?
I'm the same way. I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than going to the grocery store and all the slow walkers. It's like, okay, would you at least move to the right? I just walk fast everywhere I go, and I have to force myself. It's like the Bill Murray movie back in the day, you know, baby steps to the – I have to, like, do the baby steps to slow myself down because I just have to walk fast everywhere I go. I can't walk slow.
I'm the same way. It drives my wife crazy because it's not so much the journey, it's the destination. I got to get there.
It's like that country song, George, have you heard it? You know, I want a man that stands beside me, you know. It's like that country song is playing in my head. Okay, walk alongside your wife. You don't need to be 15 paces ahead. You ain't in Iraq.
Yeah, there you go. That must be a guy thing for sure. Yeah, I know I have to slow my pace face down a lot.
Yeah. Well, Congressman Downing, great to see you here on Freedom Friday.
Yeah.
One big, beautiful bill.
Oh, my gosh. We pulled it off.
What are the big, beautiful updates? And then George has some good follow-up questions for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm really happy that we got there. And I got to tell you, Speaker Johnson, Leader Scalise, Majority Whip Emmer, I mean, they just did yeoman's work in getting this across. And it's not easy. You know, we had to get this through. This is our one chance. You know, this is an historic opportunity to be able to do this through reconciliation, because you need to have, you know, you have to have the trifecta to be able to get this done. This is the only way we can get it done without requiring the 60 votes in the Senate. And, of course, you've got people on every side of the conference that all want different things. And we needed to get a win on the board. We were facing the biggest tax increase in U.S. history if we didn't get this, if we didn't pull this off. And, you know, thank God we did. And I'm really happy with some of the stuff that we got in there on the prohibition on selling public lands that made it in there, that Amadei amendment, and then Zinke and I, you know, obviously came out in opposition. We got that off. The Hearing Protection Act, you know, basically taking away the fees for suppressors, you know, that made it through. Happy with that. You know, my parts on making sure that we were dealing with the Bull Mountains mine so that we can continue pulling coal out of the ground up there in Musselshell County, that made it through. So got a lot of wins in there, but a lot of people don't realize, you know, just how devastating this would have been if we didn't get this through. And obviously, it still has to make it through the Senate and then get to the president's desk. The president, you know, 100% is going to sign this. But I'm just hoping that the Senate, you know, understands how precarious that is.
You can call it one big, beautiful bill. That doesn't mean that it's a perfect bill. But
exactly.
We needed the Trump tax cuts needed to be extended. They needed to be made permanent. We also needed the funding to fund all these big, beautiful deportations, as it referred to. If we don't fund these deportations and make these deportations happen, we don't have a country. A country without borders is no country.
Absolutely. I've said that a million times, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And, you know, there's things that were in there that I didn't like, that I think didn't go far enough. You know, there were things that I liked in it. And, you know, overall, though, I think this is a great historic piece of legislation. I think that this is going to be incredibly powerful in reigniting the American economy, in bringing that path to the American dream back, and making sure that we're protecting this nation, that we're putting the resources where we need to, like you said, you're not a country without borders, make sure that we're putting the money where it belongs. And the biggest thing is what's government good at? It's good at getting big and bloating. I mean, this is starting to, you know, beat some of that back, getting a, you know, $1.6 trillion in spending cuts, in reductions, in savings, is going to be meaningful. I think we can go further, but you got to start somewhere. And a lot of people, you can't let, you know, perfect get in the way of good. And we needed to get this through. I mean, like, I had a problem with the salt caucus.
Yeah.
You know, I had a big problem with that, but I had to hold my nose.
If you want lower taxes on your New York taxes, then stop voting for big government politicians in New York. George Blackard, what's your thoughts? What questions would you have for Congressman Downing here?
Well, so all we hear is the Democrats screaming and crying that they're going to take away Social Security, Medicaid, all this stuff. And none of that is true. And what kills me is, how do they get away with lying about that? Chuck Schumer gets up there and says this. And some people are going to believe that and think, well, wow, he wouldn't lie about that.
Yeah.
Well, he does. And so I wanted to ask first, what are a couple of things that you didn't like about this bill? I want to start with that tough question first.
Well, one of my things that really bugged me was SALT, the state and local taxes. And, you know, there was a $10,000 cap on that, on the original Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the original Trump tax cuts in 2017. And the SALT caucus, they kept trying to get that higher and higher. And for those listening who may not know, it's mostly the California and New York Republican representatives from blue states. You know, they believe that this was going to make it difficult for them to get reelected if they didn't, you know, fight for this. And my problem is that it rewards Democrat governors in Democrat states for bad tax policy, because they sell it to their constituents saying, don't worry about this. We're going to, you know, have these, you know, huge income tax rates, but you'll be able to deduct it on your federal taxes. But what's that mean to a Montanan?
Right.
It makes it fundamentally unfair.
Yeah.
You know, and so they were, you know, going for the world. I mean, for me personally, I wanted to go to zero.
They wanted, at one point I heard, you know, they wanted, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars in the cap on that. And I mean, that would have been a non-starter. I mean, that would have been a non-starter.
Basically us subsidizing them.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And we see that now, even here in Billings. So the state wants to lower taxes, and the city, the first thing they do is try and figure out a way to raise taxes.
Right.
And so I'm glad that you're keeping an eye on that, and that's a great one that people should know about. You know, I think there are some good things in this bill that I read about that I've never heard of. So tell me, did the Trump kids part of the bill stay in there?
The Trump kids part of the bill?
Well, they used to call it the MAGA savings account.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's the
$1,000 savings.
To encourage more Americans to have babies.
I'm going to have to, I've not been tracking that one, so I have a good answer for
you. It's a small part of it.
Right.
They called it the Trump kids. So
the Democrats would say they're giving money to Trump's kids. No, they're giving money to American birth mothers who have babies to help them raise kids.
What they're doing, it says that if parents open these accounts, the federal government will contribute $1,000 for babies born between January 1st, 2024 and December 31st, 2028. So they will give $1,000. Parents are allowed to put $5,000 a year into the account, and it'll stay there until they turn 18. And when they're 18, they can use half of it to pay for higher education. And even, I think, first-time home purchases. And at age 30, the account holders have access to the full balance for anything they want to use it for. So I think the cool thing about this is not just that the government's going to give you $1,000, but it encourages people to save money for their children's education and for later on. And think about it. If you put $5,000 a year in an account for your kids, when they're 18, they've got something to start with.
Yeah.
You know. And I don't know what the interest and that sort of thing looks like for this, but I think this is a cool program.
The other big one was yesterday I popped into the High Horse Saloon, and the waitresses there were very excited. No tax on tips. So.
Yeah, no tax on tips. We got that through. No tax on overtime. We got that through. We got a substantial deduction on Social Security, so going the right direction.
All right. Well, we got to hold it right there. Congressman Downey, you able to stick around for a little while?
As long as you'll keep me.
Perfect. George, you're obviously sticking around for Freedom Friday. Great. Hey, if you want to jump in on the conversation as well, don't make George and I do all the work around here. Why don't you call in 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, before we jump back into it here, you know, we were talking about these New Yorkers and these New York Republicans. And look, we get it. They want relief from the high taxes in their states, because even though their congressional district voted Republican, the state as a whole is Democrat. So they just, man, crazy high taxes. But speaking of New York Republicans, Congressman Downey, did you hear about this story? Do you know Congressman Andrew Garbarino?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Andrew, he was one of the outspoken members of the SALT caucus, and so he was part of that, you know, trying to make sure they raised that that cap on the SALT deductions. And when it came to the vote, he was asleep.
Yeah.
He was one of the two people, him and Schweikert, didn't vote, not because of, any kind of messaging. It was when we finally voted, it was just before 7 o'clock in the morning. We'd been there all night and had just listened to, I don't know how long of Hakeem Jeffries, debating on the floor. And
you guys were working late nights, early mornings, everything to get the job done.
And there were parliamentary reasons why, because of when it came out and the amount of time it had to be until we, that. So everybody's saying, well, why'd you do this in the dark of night? Well, because we wanted to get it done before this break came up, and that's not because everybody wanted vacations, because there were legitimate, congressional delegations that, had been planning
and
things for a
long time.
And
if you don't have a deadline, things are never going to get out.
Yeah.
But the funniest part about this story, though, George, you'll get a kick out of this. So the Daily Caller had this story. So this bill passed the House by one vote, 215 to 214. So one vote. That's how slim the margin was for the president's big priority to pass. A spokesperson for Garbarino said that he had inadvertently skipped the vote. But then what I just found hilarious is Speaker Mike Johnson just laid it out. Speaker Mike Johnson, he says, well, he did not make it in time. He fell asleep in the back. No kidding. And then Johnson jokingly said, I'm going to just strangle him.
But especially for somebody that was so vocal on, you know, getting this SALT deduction raised and everything. I just thought that was interesting that he did not show up and actually cast his vote. But, yeah. And then I know that Schweikert had a similar problem, and he made it just as they gaveled and closed the vote. So his vote was, like, a second too late.
Well, I got to send him some of this Power Plus pain aid here so they can get some, get some energy if they need it.
Doesn't he have a staffer you could look up and say, your one job is to make sure I'm up for this vote?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting thing, because when we had all this time through the night, through debate, and, you know, I spoke on the floor on the tax policies that were meaningful to Montana. And but you don't bring your staff onto the floor. You know, only leadership has their staff on the floor. Yeah. And so you're faced with this as, you know, debate continues. Do you want to go, like, to your office and lay down on your couch for a minute? Do you want to hang out in the thing? But you run into that risk. And so I stayed in the Capitol the whole night because I was worried that somebody might not be able to find me.
You don't want your name in the paper.
Oh, it'd be a whole different conversation right now. Troy, what the heck happened?
Exactly.
But it got across the finish line. Well, George, you had a good, serious question. The one point I also wanted to make is, you know, as Troy pointed out, Congressman Downing pointed out, this is the largest tax cut in American history made permanent. And on the flip side, that means that Democrats voted for what they wanted to be the largest tax hike in U.S. history. George, you had a great question as well.
Which one?
Was it something about an overview of the bill, something like that?
Well, yeah, and I think he's brought up a couple of the things that were important to him. And one of the things that I wanted to point out, so I've looked at a couple, two or three different sources about this, and people ask me, what is it they're not telling us about this bill? What are the things that are going to happen that we don't know about? Well, to sum it up, you have these Democrats that are upset that it's going to fund the deportation of illegal immigrants. It's going to stop paying benefits to illegal immigrants in different programs. If you are an able-bodied person, so like there's a food assistance and is it Medicaid work requirements that if you're able-bodied and you can work, you got to put in a few more hours to get that benefit. There is nothing wrong with that, and I think
it's going back to the intent of that of those bills. That intent of helping those who cannot help themselves,
right?
Not those who do not help themselves, not those who, you know, illegally crossed into this country. It's going back to the original intent. So anybody who is entitled benefits is still getting benefits. And if you look at the spending in these programs, just I hate to keep using the same terms of waste, fraud, and abuse, but it's so true. And Elon Musk and the Doge team, you know, just turned the lights on, and a lot of us were shocked at how much fraud, waste, and abuse there are on these programs. And so it just comes down to, if you've got a business and you've got, you know, 10 people that just sit in the back room drinking coffee, not doing anything, you can fire every one of them and still do the same business and actually be more efficient because you're not paying for the dead weight.
Right.
And so I think a lot of this is we're cutting away that, you know, that fat that wasn't contributing to actual benefits without taking the benefits away from the people who are entitled.
I'd be interested too, George, in what Congressman Downing's been hearing back in the Capitol. I mean, this massive scandal about Joe Biden's medical condition and the cover-up there. Who actually was running the White House? Jake Tapper on CNN just the other day said that in all of these 200-plus interviews he's had with people, Jake Tapper came to the conclusion that freaking crackhead Hunter Biden was basically the chief of staff. That's what Jake Tapper is now reporting.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing. Is my heart's out to the Biden family for, you know, his horrible diagnosis. But, you know, I think this might rise to the level of elder abuse here, because I don't think that he was really understanding his situation. I don't think he was cognizant. He's shown that he wasn't cognizant. And I'm really curious, because I think we need to uncover this. We need to find out,
who was responsible. And I think we need to hold people accountable for doing that. I mean, the leader of the free world was, not necessarily the leader of the free world.
Right. And you're starting to see people on the left now, prominent Democrats, that are saying, well, we need to drop all this other rhetoric because he's sick. So we need to stop looking into his past. We need to stop worrying about what he did when he was president because he's sick and he's dying now. And I'm thinking, no
we don't. Somebody needs to be held accountable.
Exactly.
Well, and they're covering up not just him. They're covering up themselves and what they did to this country by propping up this guy as a puppet. Here was Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary. I might have a question from Peter Ducey thrown in here as well.
President Trump says he basically thinks unelected Biden staffers concealed his decline so that they could use the levers of power for their own personal gain.
Well, look, that's not just the president thinking that, Peter. There's a new book out. I don't know if any of you have heard about it. Again, a little bit too late because the American people knew the truth on this from the very beginning. And there were reporters in this room, including some from your network, Peter, I'll give you a little bit of credit here, who have said that clearly Joe Biden's staffers were engaging in this cover-up. So this is common sense. This isn't the president making it up. These are facts that are now finally being revealed.
Yeah, exactly. Facts that we all saw with our very own eyes as well. George, what other questions would you throw out there?
I think, what do you think the chances are in the Senate? How does that look when this vote comes up in the Senate?
The president has been very involved in this process, and we had a meeting in the House conference, had a meeting with the president a couple of days ago. And, oh my gosh, he's a hoot. I mean, he's very serious about the policy, very serious about what he wants to do for America, very serious about fulfilling his promises, and was very direct with kind of the factions on, you need to get on board and get this bill passed, because it's obviously a centerpiece to his agenda. And I got to tell you, the part I wish everybody could see President Trump in smaller, intimate groups, because he is just funny and engaging and a lot of fun to be around, but still very serious about the things that he needs to be serious about. But he's been in constant contact with House leadership and with Senate leadership on making sure we get this bill across. And like I said earlier, don't let perfect get in the way of good. We got to get this win on. This is our one historic chance to do this through the reconciliation process.
But when it comes to trimming back more of the spending, Clint in Ferndale just sent us a message. How much is this bill going to cost us? Thomas Massie and Rand Paul both oppose it because of the spending. He says, I like the tax cuts, but there's no reason we should be spending more.
We need
more spending on deportations, but the question is, I guess, what more can be done to peel back the massive spending down the road after this bill gets across the finish line?
Here's a couple things I just want to talk about with Massie and with the talks about increasing the deficit. Is they're basing this on a CBO projection. The CBO is always wrong. It was wrong with the IRA. It was wrong with Obamacare. It was right. It is just always wrong. And I'm on the part of the conference that believes that having people with more of their money, the $1,700 that you're going to put in the average Montanan's pocket, having this money in people's pockets is going to invigorate the economy. I think that what is not happening in the CBO score is it's not talking about how much we actually grow.
CBO stands for, because people don't know,
Congressional Budget Office.
Yes, Congressional Budget Office.
And the CBO constantly, they call tax cuts spending. They count it as spending.
Yeah.
No, that's us keeping our money. But then every time we cut taxes, we get more revenue, not less. But yet they dock it as spending when that's not the case at all. All right, hold that thought. Quick few minutes left here with George and Congressman Downing next.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
In response to Israel, Iran's top diplomat warned the Iranian foreign minister on X, writing, I have called on the international community to take effective preventive measures against the continuation of Israeli threats, which, if unchecked, will compel Iran to take special measures in defense of our nuclear facilities and materials. We are likewise of the firm conviction that in the event of any attack against the nuclear facilities of the Islamic Republic of Iran by the Zionist regime, the government of the United States shall bear legal responsibility, having been complicit therein. You know what? Who gives a flying atom shift what they think? Nobody cares.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and tariffs could cause inflation to make a devastating comeback. Are you ready for what more 2025 could bring? Will you sit on the sidelines and wait? Or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty-free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Help secure your future today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Pulino. Morgan Wallen's I'm the Problem had a massive opening weekend, shattering 2025 streaming records across multiple platforms following its release Friday. By Saturday, Billboard reported it as the biggest country album of the year by first-day streams. The 37-track project broke first-day records on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Music globally. The explosive launch comes as no surprise. Wallen's 2023 album, One Thing at a Time, spent 19 non-consecutive weeks at number one on the Billboard 200, a record for a country album. His 2021 Dangerous, the double album, led that same chart for 10 weeks. He's also made waves with the 2024 duet with Post Malone, I Had Some Help, which broke a Hot 100 record held by Taylor Swift. I'm the Problem, Wallen's longest album to date, features guests like Hardy, Tate McRae, Ernest, Eric Church, and Post Malone. Wallen and Tate McRae's duet also made Spotify's summer hit list as one to watch. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, we'd keep this going into the 9 o'clock hour, but we've got Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson scheduled to join us coming up for the full 9 o'clock hour, taking your phone calls and more. So that'll be a great hour coming up, but greatly appreciate Congressman Troy Downing for dropping in here on Freedom Friday. George, why don't you take it away here for the final couple of minutes or so?
All right, so I just want to run down this big, beautiful bill one more time. So, and I want to tell everybody, this is from PBS. So PBS. So when they
you got to see what the other side
that's
is
right.
talking about.
No, right? That's good. So, throw it out there. Yeah.
So they say tax cuts for individuals and businesses. Yeah, that's true. But there's good reason for that. Parents and older Americans face work requirements.
Can I cut you off for 1 second? Because this is one thing that really bugs me. They're saying this is a windfall tax cut for the millionaires and billionaires, tax cut for the rich. You know, this is a tax cut for the rich. It's a tax cut for the poor. It's a tax cut for your neighbor, tax cut for your employer, a tax cut for your employee. This is a tax cut for everybody.
Exactly.
And they just keep saying this is a tax cut for the rich, which is simply, it's disingenuous.
Right, exactly.
And, so, and that's sorry what to cut
they,
you off.
No, that's all right. That's a great point. And that's what they've been through this whole thing. The Democrats is disingenuous. So there's work requirements for food assistance for able-bodied people.
Able-bodied.
There's work requirements for Medicaid for able-bodied people.
As it was intended.
Exactly. There is the savings account for kids to help you save. There's funding for mass deportation. There's money for the Pentagon. There's a tax on university endowments and overhaul of student loans. So if you paid your student loans and you don't agree with Joe Biden paying off your neighbor's student loan, then you're going to like this because it makes it harder for people to get their the government to give them their student loans.
Well, that's forgives. Fundamentally unfair anyway.
Exactly.
I mean, why choose that? And what about my business loans? What about my mortgage? What about personal loans? What about credit card debt? What about, why do you choose one winner there? They borrowed the money. you should pay the money back. I mean, it's just basic.
Exactly. So I know a lot of people are against that. There is more drilling and mining on public lands, which, you know, a lot of times don't listen to the left. Sometimes these lands, this isn't the middle of Yellowstone National
exactly.
Park they're doing this.
Yeah.
They're doing this in the far north of Alaska.
And this is multiple use lands. Teddy Roosevelt, the great conservationist himself, envisioned these lands to be used for multiple uses like mining. That, and then I also find it rich that PBS, of all places, is trying to attack the One Big Beautiful Bill because they're getting subsidized off of the backs of we, the taxpayers. Look,
yes, exactly.
So we're being forced to pay for their crappy coverage to cut down our tax cuts that benefit us, we the people, so that they can steal our money to fund their left-wing political commentary. That just really gets under my skin.
So, you know, there's a lot to this, and as always, encourage everybody, go do your own research. Look at both sides. Look at your PBSs, your CNNs, but look at your other conservative sides, too. And then you'll get a good idea what this is all about.
Well, and here's another thing is this is not, you know, this is not the do-all, end-all. I mean, obviously, this is a pivotal piece of the Trump administration. This is a historic piece of legislation here. But we're not done. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that is still coming down the pipe that doesn't fit squarely into reconciliation. And so you're going to see more and more stuff happening during this Congress. And I'm excited about doing that work and making sure we're doing what we care about. I mean, protecting our natural resources, making sure that we're continuing to be energy dominant, making sure that we have a path to that American dream, you know, ignite the economy, make sure people have more of their money to spend because they're spending their money, you know, doing what they want to do. That ignites the economy. And that's the number one thing that can help, you know, pull us out of this loss of being able for an average family to build their American dream.
Absolutely.
Well, George, great to see you as always. Thanks for joining us. And Congressman Downey, thanks for popping in as well.
Always happy to be here.
Yeah. We're going to be talking more about these big, beautiful deportations with Attorney General Austin Knutson. He is just back from the southern border, so we'll be talking with him next hour of the program, especially after he slammed the Democrat Gallatin County attorney on the subject.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The stock market is not the economy, certainly. Its euphoria and gloom are dramatic and well-publicized. The changes in the overall economy can't be boiled down to a simple number and take weeks or more to show up in data. For all the talk of trillions of wealth being wiped out in recent days, there have been equally eye-popping changes on the upside during the market's bull run before that. In reality, of course, those gyrations are just numbers on a page, with concrete meaning only if the assets they represent are liquidated. Lower or even dramatically lower stock prices don't put people out of work, and the connection between portfolio values and current spending is nowhere near as strong as some make it out to be. But the market is a sentiment index on the immediate future, and its precipitous fall warns us of just how much those sentiments have changed, for the worse. It is people and institutions voting with dollars on where they think the return on those assets is greatest, and right now that is anywhere but in shares of U.S. companies. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.